Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday, the 14th day in January of this, the year 2020. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, as always, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through this, the back half of your week. And we're going to start with mobile phones. Many, many people no longer even have laptops or desktop computers and rely solely on their mobile phone to do all of their computing needs and activities. And with smartphones like your Samsung Galaxies or your Apple iPhones, it is very easy to do. Bad news, criminals know this too. Highlighting this, researchers recently found a new malware called Rogue. Now, Rogue is a remote access Trojan that falls in the MRAT, or Mobile Remote Access Trojan, family. And the problem with this is that these types of malware can take over your device. They install themselves when you click on SMS or text messages that are nefarious. In other words, you didn't ask for them, but you got tricked because you thought you were getting a good deal. Or they can be installed as part of an application that you don't get from an official either Google Play or Apple Store. In addition, if you do get it from the Google Store, sometimes criminals can pretend to be the applications on the store to install malware. The bottom line is that you need to be very careful with what you're clicking on your phone, because this new Rogue MRAT was developed by two sets of criminals who have been focusing on stealing data from a whole slew of users for over 3 years. So these are people who aren't going anywhere anytime soon and are focused on stealing your mobile data. We're going to move from mobile phones to another type of application, banking. Now, many of us also use our mobile phones for banking, but one bank in New Zealand, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, confirmed that it has been the victim of a cyber attack. Now, the bank is not wanting to alarm its customers, letting people know that the bank itself was not attacked. Rather, data that the bank has been stolen via a third-party service. There's a tool called FTA, or File Transfer Access, that is created by a firm called Excellion. Now, this file transfer tool, or application, FTA, enables customers such as the Bank of New Zealand to safely transfer data to other elements. A lot of times this is used for sensitive business information, law enforcement information, or even government information. It is a way that a government can safely transfer files to a private company or bank, in this case. And so it's very alarming to other Excellion FTA or just Excellion customers in general that the Bank of New Zealand, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, confirmed that its Excellion product may have been the source of its leak. Now, Excellion responded a few days later. This all happened just last week. And Excellion has confirmed that late last year it did have a flaw with its file transfer application or FTA product, but that they patched it, and that there were less than 50 customers affected by the flaw. Now, that is 50 customers, so you should have been notified or received the patch from Excellion. So if you use an Excellion product, you should reach out to them. However, their big product right now is called Kiteworks, which serves a very similar function, just it's an updated module. So if you use Kiteworks, you should be safe. If you use FTA, you need to make sure that you are up to date. Otherwise, like the Bank of New Zealand, you may find yourself with data that has been stolen from under your nose. We're going to stay on data being stolen. Last year, we talked about how the European Medicines Agency, or EMA, had their data stolen. There was a compromise, and the EMA didn't provide a lot of details about the cyber attack in which they claimed that there was some data stolen because, A, they didn't want to alarm people amidst a global pandemic, and because their investigation was ongoing. But we now know what some of the data stolen was. Specifically, criminals have leaked PFizer and BioNTech, two companies who work together, to provide a vaccine. Now, the vaccine is branded under the Pfizer logo, but BioNTech is a huge part of that effort, and both firms had to provide data to regulatory elements like the European Medicines Agency. When you do that, a lot of technical data about how your vaccine's made, how many people were tested, and other very sensitive information is all relayed. And that is so that vaccines, in this case, can be properly evaluated for safety before giving them to millions and millions and millions of people. Well, the good news is that the hackers leaked the data after the vaccine was approved and after the vaccine has been given to people. So the vaccine appears to be safe. You will hear that data related to the vaccine has been leaked. That is true. But that data served the sole purpose of regulatory scrutiny and review to make sure that it was safe. So there doesn't seem to be any lasting impact other than that Pfizer and BioNTech's sensitive data may have been disclosed, and I'm sure they're dealing with that. But it does highlight that cybercriminals sometimes, even though there's no seemingly logical reason, still leak data. And a lot of times researchers are saying that this is for, quote, street cred. Criminals want people to know how awesome they are. And to be fair, by many standards, the European Medicines Agency does appear to be a target that many criminals would be proud to have hacked. And targeting Pfizer and biotech or COVID-19 vaccine information is something that I'm sure criminals are proud to have compromised, because given how important a vaccine and treatment for COVID-19 is, surely there has been cybersecurity to protect that very critical element during a very tumultuous year. So bottom line is that you're going to hear that data was stolen and leaked from Pfizer and BioNTech. It was not technically stolen from them. It was stolen from the European Medicines Agency, who correctly notified the individuals whose data was impacted, as well as regulatory authorities. Everything seems on the up and up, but criminals have now leaked the data that they allegedly had stolen during that attack. So bottom line is, the vaccine is safe, and you should probably consider getting it when it is available to you, because the alternative might be COVID-19. We're going to move off of COVID-19 because, well, frankly, it's very depressing, and everyone has been living under its shadow for a year. And one thing that that shadow of a year has taught us is that we can communicate on platforms that we might not have used as frequently in the past. And a lot of those are Zoom, WebEx, but Skype is still around. And although Microsoft sometimes seemingly doesn't know that they own Skype, that's a joke, they know they own Skype. Skype is being phased out in the mainstream, but it still has hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of users. And so Skype users yesterday were very alarmed when they were being randomly signed out of their Skype account. And this meant that they couldn't communicate with their loved ones, their business partners, their children, their family, etc. And so it's very alarming. Now, Microsoft did acknowledge that they had an issue. We don't know specifically what that issue was. But if you were trying to use Skype and you think it's still broken, update. It's not. Skype is back online, but it did have a big outage. And this is a point that everyone should consider. When you have a very critical communication that happens, whether that's a check-in with your parents or your children or a workplace, always have a backup communication plan, because sometimes relying solely on technology, in this case Skype, but it could be anything, and that technology is not available, you need to be able to operate. So reliance on a single platform, regardless of the type, is unwise, and Skype being down is fairly insignificant in the greater scope of things, but it serves as a reminder that we need to consider what happens when applications we use do go down. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a most fantastic Thursday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on Friday. Your week is almost done. You have one more day. Stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy. Michael Kimmett, signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a regular customer, we don't know their name, of a juice bar in Miami. The regular of Miami Squeeze decided to be very generous and start off 2021 on the right foot. After buying their goods from the juice bar, the generous customer left a tip of $2,021, both as a way to give back to their favorite establishment, as well as to ensure that 2021 can be a great year following what many believe was a very, very horrible and difficult 2020. So to you, regular customer that we don't know the name of, from Miami, who goes to Miami Squeeze, a sincere tip of the cap for supporting the business and employees that you are a frequent customer of.